So we're going to send you into your weekend with a provocative thought about some developments that were mentioned there in the headlines. Don't Ask, Don't Tell is being officially repealed, certainly a headline that's important to gays and lesbians around the world, though they'll be able to serve in the military officially by September if the president certifies that the Don't Ask, Don't Tell repeal doesn't affect military readiness in some way, which Leon Panetta is also expected to do. And gay marriage takes effect in the state of New York, the largest state to legalize same-sex marriage. And it's certainly was greeted in New York with an enormous emotional response as gays and lesbians, you know, celebrating this as a victory for civil rights and equality in the state of New York and in other places around the country where this trend is continuing. Lori Asik joins us now. She's a sociology professor at Middlebury College in Vermont. She's been teaching the sociology of heterosexuality for over a decade. Lori, good morning.
Good morning.
Give us the argument that you say it's possible that gays and lesbians may regret this embrace of marriage if we look culturally down the road a decade or so.
Well, I'm not sure if gays and lesbians will regret it, but perhaps we as Americans might regret placing all our civil rights on the basis of our marital status. And what I mean by that is the United States is really unique in making our rights as citizens based on whether we're married or not. The European Union, Canada, have created a variety of systems so that people can have the families they live in and the situations they live in recognized by the law. In the U.S., there are over 1,400 federal rights and privileges that are just based on marital status, not to mention things like, can you get a family membership at the gym? So for me, it's really an American issue as to whether or not we want to base our civil rights on marriage when, in fact, a minority of Americans are now married.
And that's 48% of Americans are actually married in the sort of traditional relationship that we think of as marriage, which, of course, is changing with all of this legislation. But your argument is that to set up marriage as a sort of determinant of social status means that you necessarily favor people who are in marital relationships and disfavor people who are not.
Absolutely. I would even describe it as a relationship apartheid. To think that the majority of Americans are denied civil rights because we're not married is really quite startling. And to think that we could have done it differently, and in particular the gay and lesbian movement could have led to different alternative relationships being recognized, alternative families being recognized, because that's where the movement was in the 1970s and 1980s. It was about recognizing all families. Sadly, because marriage is so important to our status as citizens, the gay and lesbian movement has put all their eggs in that particular basket, and there's very little movement to recognize families as they actually exist.
Now, we're talking with Lori Asik, who's a sociology professor at Middlebury College. She's been teaching the sociology of heterosexuality for over a decade. Let's talk a little bit more about this issue of putting all the eggs in the basket of getting this kind of short-term emotional, positive response of being recognized for being in gay and lesbian relationships and that's equal as marriage. That you say that to embrace that equality, while important, denies the idea that to accept this marital apartheid is really more of a problem.
I really think it is. I really think what we're doing is saying most Americans don't count. Whether they're gay or lesbian or straight, we're saying most Americans don't get the same rights as married Americans. And if you think about that, if you carry it to its logical conclusion, we're saying people who are married are better than people who aren't.
What would you do personally if you were in this situation? I don't know what your sexual orientation is one way or another, but how personally does this marital trend affect you?
Well, let me tell you a personal story. I'm from New York, right? And my partner, my co-parent, and I didn't have the right to get married when we had children in New York, and we had to go through some terrible legal steps to have our children recognized as both our children. We had to do cross-adoption, which means that I had to give up the legal rights to my own biological offspring. We had to invite social workers into our house and be tested as to whether or not we were acceptable parents. That's a terrible thing to happen. On the other hand, when we moved to Vermont for my employment, we were forced to get married, even though we didn't want to. The only way we could get family insurance was by doing what was then a civil union. So That's an interesting thing.
It is interesting. And so you're forced to get married. You're also forced to go through these legal loopholes. I can understand where you get the words apartheid there.
Right. And what I'd really like to see is that my family would be recognized whether or not I engaged in a marriage ceremony or not.
What's the precedent of that around the world? You mentioned Europe and other countries where the recognition of unions, independent of their religious or civil status, is equal across the board.
If you look at marriage rates in the EU and in Canada, you see that they're quite low and that most people are not getting married. The reason is because their families are being recognized for how they exist. Parents have rights to children. People have right to transfer property to whomever they want. People have health care, regardless of marital status. So there really isn't this need to get married in those countries. And for the most part, people aren't. What's interesting in the United States is we have all these rights and privileges based on marriage, and yet a minority of Americans are married.
All right. Well, Laurie Essig will possibly not be celebrating as gay marriage becomes officially legal in the state of New York, but a provocative argument in any case to take into the weekend. Laurie, thanks so much.
Thank you.
Laurie Essig, sociology professor at Middlebury College, has been teaching the sociology of heterosexuality for over a decade and is concerned that to create a special status for married people is a problem in the United States.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing or
politics,
country music,
hockey,
sex of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.